we have to be very careful, which means a lot of times when you're confessing someone, you have to say, can we meet again? And you have to go find out what to say. Or be very careful to only say something that you know is the tradition. Not to make anything up on the spot, but really to be confident and to be okay. I don't know what to tell you right now, but can you give me a little bit of time and I'll get back with you. Yeah. Now, besides that, besides the continuum between young, you know, pastors and mature pastors, and of course there are also those who are gifted. Just because you're old doesn't mean that you're a good confessor. You may be a stinky confessor. Who knows? And because you're young doesn't mean you're a bad confessor. You may have the gift of confessing. But there's also a huge continuum between a parish priest confessor and a yerenda. Or, just to make it easier for me to explain, what I would call a grace-bearing or a God-bearing elder. Someone who has spent his whole life as a monk. Almost exclusively, they are monks. Although there are, especially in the 20th century, early 20th century in Russia, some amazing married priests who had this gift. And they were able to give guidance, like the Optina elders is a good example. They were able to give guidance in ways that a pastor simply can't. They were able to discern people's thoughts, save you the hassle of articulating your sins and tell you what your sins are and what you forgot, and give very particular advice. St. Seraphim of Sarov is a great example of this. That Holy Father was able to discern where people were at by just seeing them. And people would come to him to ask, should I get married? Should I become a monk? And he could say, it's God's will for you to do this. There's an interesting story in his biography by Father Lazarus Moore, where a man comes to him and he's left his wife in order to become a monk. And St. Seraphim doesn't even let the man speak. The man walks into his presence and he points his finger at him and says, go home to your wife, you stupid man. You're married and go home and live with your wife. This is a grace-bearing elder, someone who lives in the sight of God, right? Someone who's in theosis and can give that kind of direction. That affects the whole relationship with the penitent, right? I mean, this person can give very particular obediences. Okay? I one time had a girl who thought she was a prophetess and that she was getting, you know, information from God for me. I thought this was very interesting. I knew she wasn't because I knew her life. And she one time came out to me and she gave me a letter. And it was written in red. And she said, whatever you do, this is from God. He gave it to me for you. Don't wrinkle it. Whatever you do, don't wrinkle it. So she hands me the letter and I stick out my hand. And I wrinkle it. I crushed it in my hand. And I looked at her and I said, dear, did he also tell you what he would do if I did wrinkle it? She got the picture. She was convinced that she could do this, and she knew very much from me. I thought she was insane. She was nuts. We have to be very careful also in this relationship to know who we are, right? If someone comes to us, and sometimes our people are so pious, they want a word. Give me a word, Father. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I marry this person? Wow, we have to be so careful. Because if we take the role of the grace-bearing elder, then we have his responsibility. What happens? They get married and they get divorced after a month. It's much better to be careful. To be careful. And it's also much better for us to go find these men. We need them. We need them. And not to think that because we're all priests, we're, you know, in this capacity, we're all equal. I thought Dr. Engelhardt's response the other day to that question someone posed, what would you do if there was an ectopic pregnancy? And he said, I would go find a holy man to pray for the healing. You know, that was such a beautiful answer, right? We believe in these things. We believe in the miracles of God. Maybe there's how many? I don't know. Not too many of these yerandas around who have spent their life and have shown by their fruits. They're precious to the church, although they can be scandalous to the worldly minded. And there's a lot of us, and we have to know the difference. And that take obediences as an example. When you give someone an obedience in confession, basically for us, the obediences we give are the commandments of God. We tell them, like, come to church. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist as a priest to know that's God's will, right? Stop yelling at your wife, right? We tell them simple things that are very clearly